You're listening to Sound Poetry. I am your host, David Gilmore. This is Sound Poetry, Radio Tacoma, KTAH 101.9 FM. I'm your host, David Gilmore. And I'm welcoming here again today Glenn Butkus, who is the world-renowned poet of bibliosity. He will tell you a little about his blog, and he has posted his daily poem today on his site for all the world to read. Glenn, tell us a little bit about this bibliosity blog spot, would you?
Sure, sure. It's called Feel Free to Read, and I've had it up for about 10 years now. And initially, I was, before Facebook, I was using it like Facebook. I was just putting things on that I liked and images and other people's poetry. And I always put my own on as well. I'm up to about 1,500 poems now that I can choose from. And they're all on there, as well as all the movie reviews that you're well aware of from the past, and other kinds of fiction that I've written. All those documents are just all in that one place. It's one of these things where a lot of people visit, but because literature or poetry is a little bit more difficult to comment on, I don't get comments just from the basic public. I only get comments from the people that are in my immediate international poetry group. But it keeps track of how many people have visited, and I'm up now to 1,240,000 people have stopped by, so that's impressive in and of itself.
What an audience.
Yes.
Would you give the site address for us? Say it out.
Write in Feel Free to Read, and it goes right there.
Okay, Feel Free to Read. Okay, Glenn, you might as well begin because I'm going to give you plenty of time to read your works. And we may not need a lot of commentary in between, but it'd be all right if you want to have some introduction or some follow-up.
Right.
So here we go.
Okay. My very first piece is called Commedia del Politicus. Trump is Trump. Some people find him hilarious. I don't. But there's never been a dull moment since he took office. Martin Short. There's only one clown who comes to mind, a slimy, evil son of a bitch who makes King's Pennywise seem like an amateur, smirking while munching Ronald's Big Mac as more than 185,000 people perished. With his silly pumpkin makeup and the stupid white mask around his little red eyes, his poorly dyed and combed over, sprayed on Jerry Lee Lewis coif, his trembling, puckered, porky lips midst a pair of bulldog jowls, his red tie so long he trips on it and he uses it for a napkin, wiping off chicken grease and secret sauce, his $1,000 suits that were made in China, that hang on his rotundness like a blue tarp, with his tiny hands gesturing and pointing, flailing like clipped pigeon wings, his fifth grade oratory skills, coupled with his third grade vocabulary, his vulgarity and gutter speak insults that would make George Carlin blush, his illusions of grandeur, actually believing he is the chosen one, a deity, even though he's an atheist, a nihilist, a fraud, a failure, a perpetual lying machine, just a forlorn future footnote in history, a simpleton, a moron, who has obviously made a deal with the devil at the crossroads, and now his term is up, and he is terrified of facing up to his demonic obligations. All those broken laws, all those prison sex nightmares, all that angry horde of women he's raped and wronged, all those teeth-clenching folks that he has defrauded, cheated, conned, hoodwinked, robbed, deceived, and duped, finding himself to be the rodeo clown who stumbled and must now face the horns. And most of all, he must face the millions of families who've had loved ones become infected and who died needlessly on his watch from his gross neglect, ignorance, and greed.
A good description of someone we're all familiar with.
Yes. There's a lot of people who have thought of him as a clown, and they're interesting. A lot of abstract artwork has been done with his visage. Did you have any other thoughts?
I'd like to hear another poem with the same vitriol, perhaps on a different subject.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, one of the things that's going to happen, I've got several political poems, but as I go back and look over the last couple of years, there are some refrains that come up again and again, and think of them as refrains, not just as poor editing, okay? All right. This is called Democracy Redo. This is your country. This is your democracy. Make it, protect it, pass it on. Thurgood Marshall. Welcome to the Save Democracy Now helpline. Yes, where all alternate facts are vanquished, where all dictators have no clothes. This call may be recorded for truth purposes. Pay close attention to the political menu. Thank you for calling Save Democracy Now. For certified data, press 1. For proven facts, press 2. For all alternate facts, a band. For whistleblowing, press 3. For justice for all, press 4. At a place where dictators are stripped naked, where free speech is encouraged, but ignorance does not trump knowledge, where college tuitions are free, where every citizen has health insurance, where immigrants are greeted with open arms, where teachers make more money than plumbers, where the middle class thrives, where the poor are never homeless or hungry, where there are no apes in the corner offices. Does this sound like a new democracy, a racist free republic, a land of actual freedom? Well, Christ, it's about time, isn't it? I believe that we need to save our democracy before we take on saving the planet, and after all the dystopians are run to ground. I live near the Great Cascades, where waterfalls sing their ancient tribal names.
Yeah, a run to ground. I hope you appreciated, as Glenn was reading, the train whistle in the nearby tracks. Sometimes I think these ambient sounds actually coincide with the way lines of poetry run.
Certainly can happen, or the opposite sometimes. Yes, here's one of... with a little bit more levity in it, if you're ready. He is not a duck. Small men often feel the need to prove their courage, but I doubt they could kill a duck. George R. R. Martin. The Donald certainly is a cartoon. Over 20,000 lies in 4 years. Quite the torchlight of untruths, even for a bilious gas bag like Trump. The last 4 years have been unreal, even surreal. El Presidente truly is the emperor of dark souls, destined to trod the path of exile. I quake with terrible anger daily as Diablo Jose Frump pretends to be the god of war. He, with the frat boys draft-dodging bone spurs beneath the coward's stripes. My only portal to solace is to launch salvos of humor his direction. Surely his deserved karmic destiny will be that he's remembered as the Benito of bumpkins, the prince of morons, the statue of stupidity, the aardvark of asshats. I do fear that if he just refuses to be impeached, if he creates a cadre of storm trumpers to protect himself, and then he disbands Congress, he may appoint himself as president for life, or he may just explode like a gluttonous Monty Python character. Meanwhile, the lies are thick as gnats in August. Democracy bleeds from a thousand cuts. Overwatch is a sad, ineffectual joke. And very soon, there will be another bevy of Fox News celebrities that will be appointed as the secretaries of everything.
Yes, did you notice the reference to a Monty Python character by the name Mr. Creosote?
Yeah.
How well it fits.
Yes.
How well it fits if you know who that is.
Yes. Yeah, I like it.
Great. Another one, Glenn.
Yes, here's the one that I've lovingly called Grab Them by the POTUS. The concept of global warming was created by the Chinese in order to make U.S. manufacturing non-competitive. Donald J. Trump. Lots of blame to go around as America's death toll rapidly rises. Beyond finger-pointing, there are all those damn what-ifs. Trump cracks me up, though, with his windmills cause cancer and Lysol injections could sterilize our internal organs and Corona just can't touch him. I wonder if people had a sense of humor regarding the bubonic plague. They tell me that even morticians find a lot to laugh about within the absurdity of their vocation. This angry virus has already killed more people than we lost in World War II. Trump's idiocy has led us like lemming to the cliff's edge. I remember a joke as a kid. The joke was, why is Arthur Godfrey like a machine gun? Because he fires 10 employees a minute. Does that sound familiar? Which do I actually fear most? Horrible death from COVID-19 or the re-election of Donald Trump? It's about a toss-up, I guess. Both would be a terrible catastrophe.
Glenn, how do you sleep at night?
Actually, fairly well.
Well, in the morning, do you have these thoughts before you get up to write your poetry? I believe you're a morning poet, are you?
Yes.
How is it you manage your mind in the morning before you write?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think writing, like any pursuit, you exercise more, it makes it easier to do. Kind of like when you memorize things. The more you memorize, the easier it becomes. But I actually many times wake up as an older person to go to the bathroom a couple of times a night. And while I'm making that trek, I'm thinking, I actually was dreaming about the situation that I'm going to make into a poem. I've actually dreamed about writing the poem and retained enough of it that when I get up, kind of like when you put it in a writer's notebook, I make a couple little notes just to keep my mind on track. Actually, I've trained myself more than you might think because I belong to an international poetry group, which opens up at noon my time, 3 days a week. there's a prompt there, and it can be anything from a word to a concept to a photograph or a painting or whatever. And I'm very good at responding to a prompt and getting out a couple of pages of poetry within 45 minutes or an hour, and then blue penciling it and then posting it within an hour and a half. I'm actually surprised at myself, but that's about the way it works for me.
Mm-hmm. Were you as prolific in poetry when you were younger, or is this just something of your later years?
Well, I did write poetry from high school on in creative writing classes, and everybody enjoyed it. But what I found was, you know, when you're young, you have a life to live. And I would tend to write poetry when something exquisite or substantial happened in my life. I broke up with somebody, I fell in love with somebody, I was trying to get through boot camp, my mother died, things like that. So I probably in 15, 20 years maybe wrote 30, 40 poems. But now, you know, I'll write a dozen to 15 to 20 every month.
Were you an angry young man?
Absolutely. Yes, a bit of a loose cannon. I remember even in the service, it used to bother people that I had problems with authority, because I have a hard time respecting people or following orders from people I don't respect. And we used to say that if our officers in the Navy weren't in the Navy, they'd be in the circus, because it's just absurd. And it doesn't change when you get into a corporation or an educational system. There's always that ape in the corner office that you know is the Peter principle. He got there somehow because they didn't want to get rid of him, but they didn't. They had to promote him or her because it's the nature of things. So yes, I've always told that I have had an attitude.
Well, since you're in that attitude, why not continue with some of these poems that you have before you there?
Absolutely.
Any choice you want.
Okay. This little ditty is called Butt Buddies. I will fight for you with every breath in my body, and I will never, ever let you down, Donald J. Trump. This is a conversation or a call and respond between Trump and Benito Mussolini. Trump, I won because I love the poorly educated. That's as true as global warming. Mussolini, democracy is great in theory, but in practice, it's fallacy. This is a fascist alternate truth. Trump, everybody loves me because I've always been successful. This is a kick in truth's junk. Mussolini, a dictator can be loved. People love a strong man. This is delusion sold as truth. Trump, we will no longer surrender America the illusion of globalism. This is truth as a carbuncle. Mussolini, democracy is when the people are given the illusion of sovereignty. This is truth being sodomized. Trump, to be patriotic, there's no room for prejudice. This is the truth masquerading as a lie. Mussolini, if people disagree with you, destroy them. This is truth twisted into a pretzel. Trump, the press are the most dishonest, sleazy, terrible people I've ever met. This is the antithesis of truth. Mussolini, Italy's press remains free as long as it supports the regime. This is truth as fascist puppetry. Now, they are both deranged buffoons, and we already know what his people did to Mussolini.
It has struck me that it's not a very difficult match. From the very beginning, I heard people say that he seems to have the arrogance and gestures of Mussolini.
Absolutely, he even looks like him.
It could have been a reference perhaps to Der Führer, but really Mussolini's the one that most came to mind because of that.
Right, and he was always considered a buffoon, where Hitler was really considered a monster, and that's really quite the difference. You know, that they had a hard time lampooning Hitler because there wasn't much to laugh at. With Mussolini, there was a lot, like a lot of demagogues and dictators that you could mention that were absurd, ridiculous, but thought of themselves as strong men.
The film of Charlie Chaplin, I mean, once that was made, there was no need for another mimicking.
Yeah, that was probably the apex right there. That was beautiful.
But Jojo Rabbit, a film of recent
absolutely date. Loved that film. It was an allegory, it was a fantasy, but it was also a treatise on Germany, on how people are hoodwinked by some kind of leader, if you want to call someone like Jim Jones or others a leader. And Jojo Rabbit, I didn't know quite what to expect, and it simply stunned me with its emotional qualities, with its truth, with just everything about it.
I think it was almost as profound as something like the Tin Drum.
Absolutely. I felt that it was kind of like Stalag 17 meets The Boy in the Striped Pajamas and A Beautiful Mind. It had those qualities of all of those films about the Holocaust, about the World War II. Humor for sure, but you know, there has to be a place in all of this for levity, for humor. Did you ever see a film called The Liar with Robin Williams?
Yes.
Now, there was a lot of humor in it, but there was also a lot of pathos and emotion and truth. That was a fine balance, a great balancing act as well.
One of his really unknowns, though, of many films that Robin Williams made, there are so many that never really were viewed by many people.
Right, and that's
one of them.
That's one of them, and it was because he believed in it. Yeah. When an actor or actress does an independent film and does it because they believe in it, they know that they're going to work for scale, and they know that probably not very many people are going to see it, that it might become a cult film, but it will not be a box office success. It's just what's out there.
Well, being aware of how doublespeak or newspeak has proliferated, especially in the last few months of the campaigning, have you written a poem that is in some ways an imitation of doublespeak?
Well, yes and no over the years. I didn't happen to pick one this time, but I certainly know exactly what you're talking about. The only thing that commentators and newsmen and the media can say over this last couple of months is that the whole Republican Party, they live in a separate reality that is not based on any kind of fact or truth. It's literally a fantasy land. And it becomes more absurd every single day with every poor explication, with every dodge, with every diversion that's given. And all we can do is just hope that somehow those folks who believe this is truth, who follow Fox News, who this is their place to get information, will somehow begin to realize this isn't real truth. This is something else. We used to just call it propaganda, but it's gone way beyond that now. You're right, it's doublespeak, it's alternate facts, it's truth simply disguised as anything else but truth.
The remark of the last day or so where he told people to vote twice.
I know it.
And then the next minute it was just, the press have taken this out of context.
Yeah, right.
They've taken the bare recorded fact of his message and called it out of context.
Then he repeated it the next day. So, I mean, he generally tries to be as Teflon as he can. He's never accepted responsibility for anything. Wouldn't it be wonderful if after he's out of office, all those litigations, all those laws that he's broken would come back to haunt him and that he'll actually be prosecuted? Or after they look at his taxes, after all of that hoopla about Trump University, about Trump steaks, about Trump wine, Trump cheese, Trump clothes, and then all the real estate deals that he did that were all cons, all went bankrupt, all were frauds. You have to believe or hope that we live in a world where some of this will catch up to him.
Yes, we have our wishful thinking moments.
Yes. But then again, from the moment he took office, from the moment he won, it's almost been surreal. It's almost been just a nightmare. Like, you hope you're going to wake up. Yeah. That somehow all of this, it couldn't possibly be happening in America. It just, and I do believe, and I don't believe it as just a progressive or a leftist attitude, our democracy is at stake. And if he has another term, he will demolish it. He will demolish it. He may do as other dictators have done. He may disband Congress, as what's-his-face in Britain did with their House of Lords and all that. He could disband Congress. You say he couldn't? Well, think about all that he's already done and got away with. He'll just do it and then say, well, what are you going to do about it?
Yes, an executive order.
Yeah.
That will be fulfilled post-haste.
Yes.
Another one, Glennis. Let's
yes,
get back to the...
I only have one more that's Trump-related. Okay. This is called King Harlequin. Clowns have often had ambiguous and sometimes contradictory roles to play. Thomas Ligotti. With the Donald marching to victory, how could I stay in my right mind? For puzzlement now just sits smugly on logic's face, while a very dark dirge plays on speakers unseen, pushing me to my wit's demise. Where chaos reigns and nothing fits in this all just a macabre, nightmarish comedy, where rules become jokes and common sense flits like a butterfly with shredded wings. A real tragedy is being performed, but camouflaged to the eye like a Punch and Judy show. It does not help to lament, whine or cry, nor reveal the wounds to your broken heart. For surely, hopefully, in the future, the people will moan as lies morph into fascism carved in stone. Almost exactly what we were talking about.
What we were talking about. And do you think that America and the citizens will have the guts to act like the Belarusians should he stay in office?
To think about four more years, I mean, literally, personally, I have more than an emotional reaction these days to what is going on. I have a visceral reaction, and it's not healthy. It's simply not healthy. And I think there are people who, their health has just disintegrated over this. I don't know if you feel that way, but
I feel thoroughly healthy. I'm in the pink, actually, only because I'm looking at a very beautiful red daisy over behind you, and I think let's get back to one more poem that can pull us back to seeing a little pink.
Yes, and this is a perfect poem. This absurdly is a poem about a wonderful car that I once owned. The title of the poem is 351 Cleveland. They say you can only go around once, but in a muscle car, you go around two or three times. Tim Allen. The first time that I glanced out the kitchen window and saw the raspberry dawn's rays dancing on its long hood and down its raked fastback, I was stunned by my 1973 Mustang, muscled black on black, resting buff on raised letter radials and chrome magnums, its polished sleekness stretched skin tight over thick channel Detroit steel. On city streets or on fast lanes on the freeway, I had to always rein it in. I loved the glimpses I would catch as it glided across the cold face of glass buildings. It was Pantera bread, pumped iron. In traffic, it sliced like a shark midst schools of lesser vehicles. At twilight, I would drop down through the darkness of tall trees in my Raven cruiser, scattering fat gravel with deep notched treads, embracing the golden stardust that winked deep in its ebon wax.
Ode to Mustang. That's, everyone has a favorite car. That's a poem that many poets, I think, have written about a particular car or truck in their past.
Or lady, or whatever. Yeah. Occasionally.
But thank you very much, Glenn. You've been entertained by the performances of Bibliosity poet, international poet, Glenn Butkus. Thanks a lot, Glenn.
And thank you very much for my chance to share.